happy to be out. Let's stand together, if you will. Heavenly Father, Lord, we're so appreciative of your grace and your mercy. Oh, God, another opportunity, another call to be able to gather. Father, gather in here in this little place you provided with saints. It's like precious faith, Father, that we can draw strength from and fellowship with. These are all little blessings, Father, and we're so appreciative. And Lord, be able to hear you speak to us, your word, and have you reveal it to us, that we may grow in Christ. Father, strive to become that full stature. We love you so much. Asking, Lord, that you would just have your way in every phase of the service, that you'd get the glory and honor and praise. We ask all this in your precious name, the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Hallelujah. Are you really happy to be out this morning? Amen. He's good to us, saints. Praise his name. Turn with me, if you would, in our Capstone Life books there. Amen. Let's start on page 5. I am determined to hold out to the end. Amen. When I first found Jesus, something o'er me rolled, like lightning it went through me, and glory filled my soul. Salvation made me happy, and took my fears away. And when I meet old Satan, to him I always say that I am determined to hold out to the end. Oh, Jesus is with me, on him I can depend, and I know I have salvation, for I feel it in my soul. I am determined to hold out to the end. Satan was so angry, he said he'd soon be back, but let the path get narrow and he will lose the track. Yes, I'm so full of glory, my Lord, I always find. And I just say to Satan, old man, get thee behind. Oh, I am determined to hold out to the end. Oh, Jesus is with me, amen. Praise him. And I know I have salvation, for I feel it in my soul. I am determined to hold out to the end. This old-time religion, it makes me sometimes shout. I don't have time to gossip, nor any time to pout. They say that I'm too noisy, but when these blessings flow, I shout, oh, hallelujah, I want the world to know. Oh, I am determined to hold out to the end. Oh, Jesus is with me, on him I can depend. And I know I have salvation, for I feel it in my soul. I am determined to hold out to the end. Oh, when I hear the trumpet in the sky, and see the mountains trembling, to heaven I will fly. For Jesus will be calling, there'll be no time to mend. With joy I'll go up singing, amen, hallelujah. Oh, I am determined to hold out to the end. Oh, Jesus is with me, on him I can depend. And I know I have salvation, for I feel it in my soul. I am determined to hold out to the end. Amen. Are you all determined? Hold out to the end. Amen. Praise his name. Page 21. Same books there. Glory Land Way. Are you in that way? Walking up that path? Amen. I'm in the way, the bright and shining way. I'm in the glory land way. Oh, telling the world that Jesus saves today. Yes, I'm in that glory land way. I'm in that glory land way. Heaven is near and the way growing clearer for. I'm in that glory land way. Oh, list to the call, the gospel call today. Get in the glory land way. Oh, wanderers, come home.
Getting closer, saints. Hallelujah. Page 47. Same books there. Heaven's Jubilee. Amen.
Some glad morning we shall see Jesus in the air, coming after you and me. Joy is ours to share. What rejoicing there will be when the saints shall ride. Oh, headed for that jubilee yonder in the sky. Oh, what singing, oh, what shouting on that happy morning when we all shall ride. Oh, what glory, hallelujah, when we meet our blessed Savior in the sky. Seems that now I almost see all the sainted dead rising for that jubilee that is just ahead. In the twinkling of an eye, change with them to be all the living saints to fly. Amen. Praise his name. And oh, what singing, oh, what shouting on that happy morning when we all shall rise. Amen. Oh, what glory, hallelujah, when we meet our blessed Savior in the sky. Oh, when with all the heavenly host we begin to sing, thinking, singing in the Holy Ghost, how the heavens will ring. Millions there will join that song, with them we shall be praising Christ to ages. Amen. Hallelujah. And oh, what singing, oh, what shouting on that happy morning when we all shall rise. Oh, what glory, hallelujah, when
saints. If it's real to you, amen, just think, it's just around the corner. Amen, we'll see him split the eastern skies. Amen, go be able to go home and be with him throughout eternity. What a day we have to look forward to. Amen, praise his name. Brother Luke, would you like to come up and take up the offering? Precious Jesus. Oh, I want to see him. Do you want to see him, saints? Is that longing growing in your heart?
Oh, I want to see him, look upon his face, there to sing forever of his saving grace. On the streets of glory, let me lift my voice. Cares all past, oh, my life, ever to rejoice. And oh, I want to see him, look upon his face, there to sing forever of his saving grace. On the streets of glory, let me lift my voice. Cares all past, oh, my life, ever to rejoice.
Amen. Praise his name. How many have a request on your heart? Something you'd like to present to him? Amen. Just hold it on your heart. Brother Philip, would you like to take the request?
Heavenly Father, we're so grateful and thankful for another opportunity we had to gather together here this morning,
yes,
Lord,
Jesus,
that we might praise you and worship you in song, Lord, and spirit, oh, Lord. And those along where we gather together, Lord, from your presence, Lord, and your word to come forth, Lord, to strengthen us, Lord. May as we realize in the hour we're living in, Lord, we draw strength from your word, Lord.
Yes.
And my God, I pray this morning, Lord, and you remember each and every one that has a need in their lives today, Lord. Every hand that went up, Lord, I pray that you remember the Lord. And pray especially, Lord, that you remember Sister Eloise this morning, Lord, you intercede on her behalf, Lord God, and look after her. And
yes,
pray,
Jesus,
Father, this morning, that those who are not able to be here because of not Father help, Lord, we pray, Father, that you reach down and dismiss them in the space you wait today, Lord. And pray, Father, that we realize, Lord, that our gathering together here, Lord, that we draw strength from one another, Lord, and that's the reason we need to be here.
Yes.
God, we might draw strength from one another, Lord. And we pray, Father, now for the anointing of thy Holy Spirit upon thy word, Lord. And anoint the messenger, Lord. Not, Father, to speak those things you have in to speak, Lord. And open our hearts to receive the word that we might be strengthened thereby. We ask these things all now in the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.
Amen. Praise his name. You may be seated. Yes, Lord Jesus. Amen. Does anyone have a special audience? Amen. Praise his name. Do you have something this morning, Kevin? All right, we ask you to come if you would.
He didn't have to hear me when I cried out to him. He could have turned his head and said, I will not hear. But instead, he reached his precious hand down to me. And by his grace, then he took away my fear. Oh, it was grace, grace, God's love and grace. It wasn't anything that I could have done. So why shouldn't I love him? For he has given me life by his grace. When I look around at all the other people, I just bow my head and say, how can it be? Why did you choose me, Lord, when I was so unworthy? I know it's love, I know it's grace you've shown to me. Oh, it was grace, grace, God's love and grace. It wasn't anything that I could have done. So why shouldn't I love him? For he has given me life by his grace.
Amen. True to the grace of God. Let's stand, if you will. Let's sing a little chorus, Only Believe. Ask our brother to come.
Only believe. Only believe. All things are possible. Only believe.
Just bow our heads for a moment of prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, truly we appreciate this opportunity you give us again this morning. And Lord, we've come with open hearts and open minds. Lord, our thoughts clear that you could speak to us through the Word of God. None of us come, Lord, to listen to a man. Lord, we come to listen to the Word of God. But yet you use men for your representatives, that, Lord, they could read the Word and speak your Word. But, Father, the Word of God is so pure. It's so clean. And Lord, it's so good. And that's what we've come here to listen for. The instructions in our life of, Lord, every step we should take. And Father, help each one of us to yield to you and surrender to you. Forgive us of our sins and iniquities, Lord. Lord, many times through life we don't mean to do the things we do. But Lord Jesus, sometimes we get caught up in flesh. But Lord, help us to learn, to understand, know how to let the Word of God bring these bodies under subjection. We ask now, Father, that you just have your way in all things. In your holy, gracious, precious name we ask now that thy will be done. In Jesus' name, our Lord and Savior. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Well, it's good to be back again in the house of the Lord and to be able, by the grace of God, to gather around the Word, the pure, precious Word of God. We'll read a little scripture and then we'll have you be seated. But let's turn first to Colossians 1st chapter. And let's read here the 9th to the 18th verse. Now you'll find I'll probably read a couple things over from what we read not last Sunday, but the Sunday before. And we want to speak this morning about missing the mind of Christ and trusting that you'll get a blessing from it and be strengthened by it, encouraged, and further your walk in Christ with it. And again, we're glad to see everybody could make it today. Pray God will bless them and meet every need for them. I know some of you drove a ways, and we appreciate that. May God bless you through the Word of God and hearing the Word today. And pray that God will bless those that couldn't be here and even those that maybe didn't want to be here today. So we find here in Colossians 1, 9 to 13th verse. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Notice what he said, spiritual understanding. This isn't something intellectually we can gain, but it's by the Holy Spirit giving us this understanding. That ye might walk worthy. Notice every one of these words. That ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power unto all patience and long-suffering and joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. Now may the Lord bless during his word, and you may be seated. Now, as we talking about a little subject here, and we'll be talking a lot about our thoughts today and what we think about through the week. Just, you know, because before you do anything, you think before you do it, you know. And so the thought process, or thinking, I should say, thinking process, is something we all go through every day. Okay, there's not a time or a thing through the day that we don't go through a thinking process. And, you know, thinking about missing the mind of Christ, and I want you to think of it this way. You know, I'm sure probably most of us has experienced, you know, we always used to wear two shoes. You know, it's a pair of shoes. And probably no doubt all of us sometime or another have walked in shoes that's got a little bit of a heel on it. And how many's ever just sometime or another, maybe you happen to think of something you had to do and you had one shoe on, and you begin to walk with that one shoe on and how it throws you off, and it feels just so awkward. You know, you're walking on one shoe's got a heel and the other one doesn't have a heel, and it's so awkward feeling. But what if that shoe's missing and you can't find it? It leaves you in a position, we'll just say maybe the dog got a hold of it, carried it away, and you can't find it. But that kind of leaves you in an awkward position, doesn't it? And here you only got one shoe. You ain't got another pair to depend on. It's the only pair of shoes you've got. And you may even, as you're walking around trying to find this other shoe, you're feeling this awkwardness of getting around on just one shoe. And here you are looking for it. And all the time you're doing this, and maybe you have to walk down the driveway, and it's gravel, and it caused pain and suffering on that foot that you didn't have the shoe for. You may have had to walk down that gravel road to go to school. And you had to walk down that gravel road to go to the grocery store. And you only had that one shoe. That's all you had, and you couldn't find it. And I want you to kind of just think about it. It's just something simple, but yet it cost you something because the shoe was missing. And it's kind of the way with the Word of God, or missing the mind of God, missing what His will is in our life. It's kind of like wearing one shoe, you know, and you got one missing, and it throws you in a very awkward position. And as I said, sometimes it costs you some pain and suffering, maybe some guilt, maybe some things come up that you wished wasn't there, you know, because you have this one shoe missing. Well, the word missing means to be, it's gone, lost, misled, or misplaced. Okay? So, with that in mind, I want you to think about this, and we'll end up going back to the letter the Holy Spirit told the prophet to pick up the pen and write. And I'll read it again today. Actually, I will read it. I was going to read it a little bit later, but let's just read it now. Just kind of refresh your minds to it. And so it'll be before you, because I want that fresh in your mind and your thoughts before we read too many more scriptures or anything. But we find here, he says, and of course, keep in mind the scripture read now, because there's a reason in it, okay? But we find here in the Church Age book, he says here, the members of the Virgin Bride, which we know the chosen, elected sons and daughters of God, is the bride of Jesus Christ. Okay, it's his wife. Okay? He is the head. He is for God was the head of Christ. Christ is the head of the man, and man is the head of the woman. I mentioned there a few weeks ago. But we realize that we being the bride, wherever she's at all over the earth, not only just here, I'm talking about the little predestinated election all over the earth, wherever she is, okay? The members of the virgin bride will love him. So we've got that down pat. Okay? The virgin members of his bride will truly love him. Now, if they love him, the scripture says they what? Keep his commandments. Is that right? They keep his word. That's the only way you can prove that you love God, is by keeping his word. You know, man, it's very cheap words just to say, I love God. I love God. That is so cheap. And it don't go nowhere. But it's when a man or a woman has given their life to Jesus Christ and obeying what the Word of God says to do. Not on their own, but the help that God gives you by filling you with His Spirit. All right? But we find that if you want to really prove that you love God, then you'll do everything He tells you to do. Who is He? Am I talking about? Right there in the Bible. You see? All right? They are subject. Now, this little bride, he says here, they will have his potentials. Now, notice that, because we'll be talking about some of his potentials later on today, if I get enough time. They will have his potentials, for he is their head, and all power belongs to him. They are subject to him as the members of our bodies are subject to our heads. Now, again, we know what he's talking about, because my hand, we mentioned there a couple weeks ago, my hand does what my mind's telling it to do. Okay? Now you may not think, oh, Brother Steve ain't thinking about it, but my mind is controlling that hand. Okay, my mind was saying, I want that hand to go back and forth. So it's doing that. Same way with the bride of Jesus Christ. Okay? They have his potentials to be in this position with God. And whatever the head, which is Christ, says, then the body, which is the bride, does whatever he wants done. Okay? It's so simple. Now, again, this is the difference between real Christians and make-believers. You know people that say they're Christians when they're really not. You know, know. Look how many people say they're Christians and say they love God and all this and have no life whatsoever show that they do. I mean, I've seen many, many people, friends, say they love God. I've seen deacons in churches say they love God and go to church every service when the doors is open and go out and light a cigarette up. And the scripture tells us about he that destroys this temple, God shall destroy him, you see. So, you know, it's got to all add up. You see, it's got to all work together to really be a Christian, okay? And again, as we said there a couple weeks ago, this isn't something you can do yourself, by no means. This is why we all must be born again and filled with the Holy Ghost, you see. So he says, they are subject to him as the members of our bodies are subject to our heads. Notice the harmony of the Father and Son, and eventually we'll get back to that. Notice the harmony of the Father and the Son. Jesus never did anything. Notice these words. Jesus never did anything until, and you can watch the scriptures and read the Bible and find it now. Jesus never did anything. And you'll notice how many times the Lord Jesus said, I don't do anything unless the Father shows me, you know, or reveals it to me, tells me what to do, okay? Jesus never did anything until it was first showed him by the Father. John 5:19, this harmony, I'm not doing anything until it's revealed to you, the Word of God, till you are in that position of following the instructions of the Word. Okay. Jesus never did anything until it was first showed him of the Father, John 5:19. This harmony is now to exist between the groom and his bride. That's us and Christ the Word. This harmony, or it's gelled together and it's working, is now to exist between the groom and the bride, or you, me, and Christ. Okay? He shows her his word of life. That's what he's doing today. That doesn't mean he's not showing us because I'm on a pier up here reading the word of God and reading scriptures today. No, but he uses man to do that. Okay, Ephesians 4. He gave gifts unto the church. He gave prophets, pastors, teachers, evangelists and for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. All right, till we all come to the unity of the faith the brother mentioned in prayer. All right. The fullness of stature of Christ. This harmony is now to exist between the groom and his bride. He shows her his word of life. Again, like I said, is what we're doing today. She receives it. So there's no pushing it aside. No saying, no, it's not for me. But she receives it. Now to receive it, it becomes a part of you. Okay? Where you're doing it. He's doing it through you. The bride, he says here, she never doubts it, therefore nothing can harm her, not even death. For if the seed be planted, the water will raise it up again. Here is the secret of this. The word is in the bride, as it was in Mary. The bride has the mind of Christ, for she knows what he wants done with the word. Now we've mentioned about missing the mind of the Lord, missing the mind of Christ, missing what God wants us to do. You ever see circumstances in your life that you thought you was doing okay and you missed the mind of the Lord? Maybe you bought a home. You got to looking at the situation after you done moved and you got moved in there and everything, you realize you missed the mind of God in doing what you did. Maybe you got yourself into a marriage and you thought, wow, I thought this was the right thing at the time. And then all of a sudden, it wasn't the right thing to do. You might have took a job and thought, oh, this is the job. I'm going to make all kinds of money. And it done one thing, was keep you away from church. And you thought, though, when you took that job, this is the job. I can make all kinds of money at this job. Or maybe you thought you had the mind of God in treating somebody the way you did in your decisions. And you found out down the road You completely falsely judged the whole situation. But you thought you was in the mind of God and doing what you done. Just some of the things I've mentioned. That I could go on and on for a long time. That many Christians are missing the mind of God. All the time. Missing it. And call themselves Christians. You see? Call themselves believers. You know? And that's a scary thing. Because we know if we don't line up with the Word, what this Holy Bible is telling us, God's telling us in His Word, and we don't line up with it, we know there's no way of going to heaven. We know that. And we all know, as I mentioned a couple weeks ago, we all know that if the rapture doesn't take place, as the Scripture speaks of, we're all going to have to die someday. Yeah. Because your flesh body you're in right now is not going to live forever. Don't expect it to, because it ain't going to happen. Don't ever think it is. I don't care how healthy you eat, what you eat, you never do anything dangerous, whatever. You aren't going to live forever in this body. But one thing for sure, you better know where you're going before that body dies. Yeah. You better make sure. Because you're in trouble if you don't. Yeah. And that's why God gives us these opportunities to gather around the Word of God to make sure. See, Satan has so deceived people in this last age, they think it can just live such a sloppy, I'm going to call it Christian life, and make it in. They cannot be overcomers. They don't have to be overcomers when the Scripture tells us we have to be. They cannot worry about overcoming things. They can just do what they want to do, pay the price for the things they've done wrong, and just keep making wrong decisions in life. Keep missing the mind of God and keep missing what God wants in their life and think they're going to heaven. You see, that's what Satan's job was to do in this last days, was to deceive people to think like that. Now, we know the Word enough to know that we should never let that happen to us. Yeah. And if we're letting it happen to us, we need to really be careful. Now, if Brother Steve didn't love you, I would let you go on. I'd just say, hey, let's just come to services. Let's just play church. And let's come once in a while and let's sing. Let's act out this singing and worshiping. Listen to me preach for a little while or somebody else preach a little while. And let's all go home and we're satisfied we had church that day. Is that all it means to you? This is between life and death to all of us. Every one of us. But remind you, your flesh body is going to be rotting in the grave one of these days. And the real you, remember the three circles we had up here? Actually, I'm going to have to refer back to that here in a little while. Maybe Brother Timothy can put that up for me. I appreciate it. But remember, the soul, flesh, and spirit as being that triune being. Okay? The flesh is not the real you. No. The spirit is not the real you. That soul is the real you. Yeah. This is just the coat that I'm wearing. Yeah. But this coat does, acts, responds, makes decisions from what's on the inside, the soul. The soul itself is the control tower. We all know that. For the soul controls the spirit, and the spirit controls the body. So the soul is what we're concerned about. No wonder the Scripture tells us, ye must be born again. Of course, old Nicodemus in the Scripture, he thought he had to enter back to his mother's womb and be born again. And Jesus straightened him up on that, you know. But we realize that people aren't taking this serious enough of missing the mind of God, missing what God wants in their life. Now, God told the prophet to pick up his pen and begin to write. And I never thought of this subject like I did until I had a dream that I had. And it was just so, and I don't accept every dream. No. Some dreams I believe is from the Lord. I believe this one was. But in this dream, I seen the prophet standing there. And he sat down at a table. And he began to write. And he was writing this letter. And he'd look at me. And he'd look off in the distance. And then he'd turn his head and look another direction. And you could tell he'd went into a vision. And then he picked up the pen and began to write this letter that he wrote to the church. And he looked at me again as if he was looking right deep down inside of me. As you'd see different times and pictures and stuff, how it seemed like his eyes was penetrating whatever was there, you know. And he was looking at me. And then he would look away again as if he was seeing a vision. And then he would write some more. And for some reason, that really struck my heart. And I began to pray. I said, Lord, are we really missing the picture that's in this letter? Now remember, the Holy Spirit told him to pick up his pen and begin to write. Okay? Now again, some of these things may seem strange to you. But don't let it be strange. Just open up your heart. You see? Just open up your heart, and as long as it stays in continuity with the Word of God and shows us where we need to climb, that's what we need to do. You see? All right? But be careful in missing the mind of God so much in your life. There's so many people do many, 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 many times. Not just once in a while, many, many times. And I still think they're a believer. Scary. Okay? The bride has the mind of Christ, for she knows what he wants done with the word. Which going back to some scriptures in a little bit. Now just think of that. A people know what God wants done with his word. I'll assure you, those that knows what he wants done with his word, you're going to see them doing something very special. Yeah. She performs the command of the word. The things he's saying right there, it's scriptural. Absolutely it is. She performs the command of the word in his name, for she has thus saith the Lord. Then the word is quickened by the Spirit, and it comes to pass. Like a seed that is planted and watered, it comes to full harvest. Serving its purpose. Okay? You see, whether you realize it or not, the predestinated of God is sent here for purpose in this life. Okay? Remember, the scripture shows us in many places of predestination. A lot of people don't believe in predestination, but it's in the scripture. God predestinated us. God predestinated a people, a special people, a chosen generation, a people that he has placed here on this earth that he's seen in his mind before there's a moon or a star, pre-planned in his thoughts that they would be here today and he would express himself through. Right? He says here, those in the bride do only his will. Now think of what the Holy Spirit's saying. Those in the bride do only his will. Now if we're going to sit here and make excuses, well now, Brother Steve, come on now. Now come on. Do you really believe that? Do you really believe that, brother? I believe it. Because if she runs onto something she didn't do the will of God, she overcomes that thing and then does the will of God. You see? Then it falls under the overcomer. All right? So he says here, those in the bride do only his will. No one can make them do otherwise. They have thus saith the Lord, or they keep still. They know that it has to be God in them doing the works and fulfilling his own word. See, they know that. They know they can't do it themselves. They know they have to be filled with the Spirit of God. They know they have to have this experience of a new birth. And then they do his will. Then they find the mind of Christ. Then they do what pleases God. You see? All right?
They know that it has to be God in them doing the works, fulfilling his own word. See, he did not complete all his work while in his earthly ministry. See, talking about when Jesus Christ was here walking the earth. In his earthly ministry. So now he works in and through the bride. Now he works in and through the bride. She knows that. There it is again. She knows that. So if she knows that, she must have thinking about it. She must be having a thought process about it if she knows it and knows something about this. So it must be being thought about. Okay? She knows that, for it was not yet time for him to do certain things that he must now do, but he will now. But he will now fulfill through the bride. That's, again, the elected. You, I, whoever they are, all over the earth. Okay? But he will now fulfill through the bride that work which he left for this specific time. Okay. Now let's read some scriptures that continues to back that up. And as I said, keep in mind and think about how many times do we miss the mind of God? Do we think we've done right? We think we made the right decision. And come to find out we didn't. Maybe we decide to do a certain thing that, I just know this is the will of God. When all the time was just in the carnal mind thinking what was best for us personally. And the Holy Spirit wasn't leading and guiding. So we make this decision and only to find out it was a failure. Then I wonder where our really knew that was the mind of God. We knew that was the word of God. We knew that's what was pleasing to God. Only to find out maybe a few moments, weeks, months later, that wasn't it. Yeah, it wasn't it. You see? Well, when you're in that position, friends, you're definitely going to match that letter the Holy Spirit told him to pick up his pen and write. It ain't happening. Again, did we not come today, all of us, to measure ourselves up by the Word of God? Amen. Absolutely we did. You didn't come here to measure yourself up by me or some other brethren here or by what we would call a church. Or we come up here, you come in here today to measure yourself up, as the Scripture says to do, by the Word of God. Amen. For to measure ourselves up by ourselves, the Scripture says, it's not wise. No. That's not a good thing to do when you measure yourself up by yourself and say, I'm a Christian and I'm this and I'm that and I'm this. But what does God say that I am? That's the real story. You know. Heavens and earth shall pass away. But his word will never fail. No. Never. So he knows what he's talking about. So, well, how can you be so sure he knows what he's talking about? Well, I'm going to tell you what. If he created the heavens and the earth and all the things therein are, don't you think he knows what he's doing? He created our bodies. And look how complex our bodies are. Look at animal life. Look at plant life. Show me a man on earth anywhere that can create the thing as simple as a blade of grass. And start from nothing. Right? Now man's able to pervert this and pervert that and take this that's already started here and take this. That's how they do all their hybrid and all these crops and stuff. They take this one and this one and put and grow it together and pollinate together and they come up with something hybrid. But just lay nothing there. Just take right there on that table and start making a blade of grass without anything. Then a man can do it. But God just said, let it be. And there it is. Amen. A tree, he just said, let it be. And there it is. The beautiful deer out there in the field, let it be. And there it is. Let there be oceans, let it be. And there it was. Let there be clouds, there they are. Let there be a sun, there it is. Let there be a moon, there it is.
The only way man can do it, he can't even come close to doing all that, but the only thing he can do is put a little something together from other ingredients. Yeah. That God already created. Yeah. But try to create the ingredients. You can't do it. There's nobody greater than God. So there is nobody that knows more about you than God, which is His Word. For the Scripture says, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Word became flesh, which Jesus Christ became flesh and dwelt among us. You see? So He knows all about us. So now we're going to read from the Word of God that knows all about us. That's the best thing to do, isn't it?
Amen.
Read from something that knows all about us. Yeah. Okay. Revelation 2:23. If you want to turn there with me, it's up to you. Revelation 2:23. Now, again, this is way too long a subject for me to try to get done today. So probably won't even try. Revelation 2:23. And I will kill her children with death, and all the churches shall know. I'm not reading anything that's unfamiliar with you, friends. And all the churches shall know that I am He which searcheth the reins and hearts, and I will give unto every one of you according to your works. So you better be real careful what you do. Because He said He would give us all according to what works we've done.
Amen.
And we'll have to stand before Him in judgment. Yeah. Whether it be good or evil. Now, am I going to use my own thoughts and say, oh, that wasn't evil? Look at the people today that's out there smoking and drinking and not carrying on and say, there ain't nothing wrong with that. That's just, I'm living it up. You know, no problem. But look at those that knows that's sin and wrong. Look at the men out there today that's lusting after women. Naked women, half naked women, and lusting after them. They think, oh, there ain't nothing wrong with that. God made me this way. But Jesus Himself said, he that looketh upon a woman to lust after hath already committed adultery in his heart with her. Yeah. So again, it ain't very wise to measure yourself up by yourself, because you don't know a hill of beans. But God knows everything.
Amen.
Yeah. So we better use the Word of God to measure ourselves up by. Not what this old brain clicking around is. No. We better not use that. We better use the Word. Excuse me. And all the churches shall know that I am He which searcheth. In other words, tracks down. Tracks down the reins or the thoughts. That's what the reins is, your thoughts. Okay? So it tracks down your thoughts, your feelings, the very purpose of why you're thinking something. Yeah. So maybe if you decide to take that job that you are going to make a lot of money and you know you're going to miss the services, you just know you are. He knew the purpose of why you thought that that job was okay to take. He knew all about it, you see. I'm not saying we won't have to miss here and there when we take a job. There might be times you do. But when you willfully know that you ain't going to be able to make it to church, can't never make it because of that job, and you take that, I think you need an experience in Christ. Yeah. Because the Scripture says, forsake not to assemble yourselves together, even more so as you see that day approaching. And we know the day of the Lord is approaching. It's very close now to the appearing of the Lord. So we should be very careful. So again, if I am in harmony with my husband, which is Christ, and I have the same desire that he's got, I'll be very careful not to ever do that. Very careful. Yeah. Because I know he told me, my husband told me, forsake not to send myself together. Even more so, as I see the day approaching. Even more so. So It's a more powerful situation. It's a more serious situation since we're closer to the appearing Lord than it was before. Before, it may have been a little bit lax on it, you know, and oh, well, okay, so what? But now it's more serious. Yeah. Because now you have to make sure you're getting every word, every word, every word. For man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God, we read last week, Luke 22. So we realize that it's more serious now. We're talking about being in harmony with the Father. In harmony with our husband. You know? Okay? So we realize He searches the reins. He searches our thoughts, which is what the reins is. To see why we're making these decisions. What was the purpose in it? What was the reason I decided to do this certain thing that at the time to me looked it was okay to do? But to find out maybe a few weeks down the road, I thought, oh no, this wasn't the right thing to do. Yeah. This wasn't quite the plan of God. Because now I see, and maybe the preacher ended up bringing something to your attention in the Word of God. And, oh, now I thought about this. Now, I never thought about that before. But we were so sure we was in the mind of Christ. We were so sure we has been led by the Holy Spirit. We were so right in the decision we made. But only to find out a few weeks later, uh-oh, it wasn't. Now, just think, how many times do we do this? It's sad. It's sad. If you let the Holy Spirit lift you up that spear, you'll see how many times you do that. Yeah. Okay. So let's go on. Hebrews 4 chapter. And let's read 12th verse. Hebrews 4 and 12. Hebrews 4 chapter and 12th verse. For the word of God, which is what we're reading out of, is it not? Amen. For the word of God is quick. You see, it's not slow to respond. It's quick. Yeah. And powerful. There's a lot of force behind it. As I read the word of God today, there's a lot of force behind it. And sharper than any two-edged sword. And you got to keep in mind with a sword, a two-edged sword, when it's going in, it's cutting. And when it's coming out, it's cutting. Yeah, it's got a dual purpose, being two-edged. Okay? Sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Now think of that. It's a discerner, which is related to judging. And we know that the Word of God is not spirit and it is life. And as we're listening to the word this morning, it is spirit and it's life. And if you have anything at all inside of you, any kind of election inside of you, there's something about the word of God as you're listening to it, as I read it to you, there's something about it, it's pricking your heart. It's pricking you. What is this? I need to search. I need to find out what God wants. I need to see what's causing me to lack. I need God. I need to find out what to do. I need to know what's right. See, it's pricking you. All right? If there's any seed at all in there, it's pricking you. You're searching. Whether you realize it or not, and you listen to the Word of God, you're searching yourself. Yeah. You're searching and hunting and making sure, Lord, am I failing at this? Is there something, Father, I'm not seeing? Not allowing you to have your preeminence in my life with? I want to know what's right, Lord. Forgive me for my slothfulness. Please show me, Lord, what your word's telling me. You know? All right?
He says here, and the joints of Mara, and is a discerner of the thoughts. Now think of that. The word of God itself is a discerner of the thoughts. And intents of the heart. The intents of the heart. He knows why we're thinking it. Yeah. He knows the purpose of why our thoughts is that way. Yeah. The very intents of it. He knows what you're intending to do tomorrow. Right now he knows already. He knows what you're intending to do after service. What's going through your mind. He knows if you've got something going through your mind right now that's more important than sitting here and listening to the Word of God. He knows what you're thinking. You see? And you may ask yourself, or maybe you maybe want to ask me, how can you believe all that, friend or brother, whatever? Because it's been given to me to know. As many others throughout the land has been given to know the mysteries of the kingdom. To understand these things. And being able to understand these things express and manifest through them, is those that, when you have to lay this flesh down, and it's placed, before it's placed into the grave, they know where they're going. There's an assurance, a blessed assurance. They know what God's done for them. They know where they stand before God. There's no worrying. There's no fretting. They know exactly where they're going and where they're heading. They're going to enter in to a place much better than this. Oh my, where there is no more pain, there is no more sorrow, there is no more crying. No, there's no more murdering. There's no more killing. No, it's all tremendous bliss and graciousness of God's mercy and love. Back to you. Oh my. So we find he knows the thoughts. He searcheth the reins. Knows what we're thinking as we're sitting here. And you're listening to me. He knows what you're thinking. He knows what's going through your mind right now. Yeah. You can't hide it either. I can't hide it. He's that great. He's omniscient, omnipotent, omnipresent. He knows all about everything. He's God. But our puny minds just can't hardly put that together. Like, how can this be that he would know everybody's thoughts? You forgot something. He's God. Amen. Yes. He created everything, you see. And he sure knows how to take care of everything and anything. Yes. Okay? Now, let's go back. We was last week or so back here to 1 Corinthians, 2nd chapter. Let's read this again now. And just refresh our minds back to this. It's 1 Corinthians, 2nd chapter. Begin to 10th verse. Amen. I'll try not to hold you too long because I know probably maybe to some it'd be a little boring. I don't know. I hope it isn't. I hope you're wanting to listen. I'm not the most exciting person to listen to. You know, I don't jump all over the place. I don't run over a place. I don't run on top of the pews and all that. I'm not made up that way. But I want you to listen. Sometimes people miss a lot by all the screaming and jumping and shouting around. You know, they don't get it. They just get caught up in emotion, and that's as far as they go. So when their emotion high is gone, there ain't no life there. You see. 1 Corinthians 2. 10th verse. But God hath revealed him unto us by his Spirit. Now again, what we're reading today has to be revealed to you by his Spirit, the Holy Spirit. Okay? For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. You see, unless the Spirit of God is in you, you can't understand these things. You can't get it. You see?
And if the Spirit of God isn't in there or there to reveal these things to us, that's why you cry out to God, Lord, I need you, Lord. I need you. I need to be in this position with you that you can reveal to me what I have need of, you see. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things. Well, this is glorious things to know. Yeah. That we might know the things that are freely, see these things I'm reading today is freely given to us. Given to us of God. Which things also we speak, not in words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth. Comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Now the things I've read today, if they seem to be foolishness to you, then you better really cry out to God if they seem to be foolish to you. Okay? But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned or understood, you see. But he that is spiritual, judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But Apostle Paul says, but we have the mind of Christ. Now again, I want to refresh your mind to this. If you look it up and do a search on it, okay, to have this mind of Christ is one that can perceive divine things. Okay? Have a capacity for spiritual truth. Okay? A particular mode of thinking and judging thoughts, feelings, purposes, desires. So when we have the mind of Christ, just to refresh our mind a little bit, let's make it real simple. You make the right decisions. Because the decisions is made according to what's pleasing to God. Amen. To that which is backed up with the Word of God. Ask yourself again now. How many times do we fail of thinking we've done what is pleasing to God or we've done what the Word said do? We think. Only to come to find out it was definitely the wrong thing we did. Or said the wrong thing. We thought in our mind it was, oh, this is the will of God, I say this. This is the will of God, I treat somebody like this. This is the will of God that I make my point. This is the will of God, I go over here and do this certain thing. And I witness to this person. When you come to find out, you cast your pearls before swine. Do you know it was the will of God or not? Do we know it was the will of God in doing these things that we're doing every day? Well, Brother Steve, I just think that I was. That's the problem. You just think. You better know. For they that are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Look how many times the prophet himself would maybe not do a certain thing because it wasn't the will of God. Yeah, he wouldn't do it. It was not pleasing God. Look what he would do because he knew it was what the will of the Lord was. Yeah. You know, I think many times as just a simple little illustration, you know, when Brother Branham, he won that rifle because he had the biggest javelin, biggest hog, wild hog. And or Javelina Hog. And here, that thing, you know, he won this rifle, or he had the opportunity to. He had the biggest one. And looks over and sees this old man over there that needed the rifle really bad. He was in bad shape. And yet, he could have added another rifle to his collection. Yeah. But he seen this one over here needed it. So he told the brothers, he said, don't even tell them I've got this one, this hog. Don't even tell them. Don't let them know. Just leave it in the back of the truck. Don't say a word. Because he wanted that man over here to win that new rifle. Oh, I wonder if we're that sensitive that we can find the mind of God. And how many times we miss the mind of God, thinking that we was right on target. As we go into this, friends, it gets serious. Yeah, it gets serious. And we may just think in life, oh, it's just I blubbed up, and I fooled, and I goofed, you know, and I shouldn't have done that. Is that what we're going to keep doing when Jesus appears? Just keep goofing up? Just keep doing the things we shouldn't do and not be led by the Spirit of God? Huh? Is that where our life's going to end up? And then when they plant us in the grave, everybody will be looking at somebody just done nothing but goof up all their life. Couldn't find no overcoming in them. And yet you want to be planted and you want the preacher to say, he's going to heaven. She's going to heaven. No, this preacher won't. I'd rather not say anything. And when your life just keeps goofing up and you was not led by the Spirit of God, but yet you was deceived and thinking you was, and you think Brother Steve's going to say something to get you into heaven. Nope, I'm not Catholic. And I'm not going to do penance for you. I'm not going to throw the smoke sensor around and all that. No. Not me. Better be planted yourself if you're going to do that. Friends, we're living in such a serious time, and yet Satan's doing all he can do to take the seriousness away. That's what's happening, friends. And we're missing nuggets in the Word of God that we should not be missing. Yeah. How many times do we go somewhere and we think, oh, this is the will of God, I'm going to go. Come to find out, boy, it didn't go the way we was thinking in our mind it was going to go. There's a reason for it. It's like that missing shoe. And you walk around, and I'll guarantee you, friends, if I take one shoe off today, and I walk down through that aisle, and walk back up here with one shoe missing, you're going to see how awkward I'm walking. Yeah. What I say? You're going to see how awkward I'm walking. But if I got both shoes on, being led by the Spirit of God, you're going to see me walk normal. Is that right? That's right. So, saints, we need to get to reality. Okay? This is a serious thing. We're all here for a purpose. You think, well, I just happened to slip in. Maybe some of you have been here for a while and you think, oh, I just happened to come along and heard about you, and I'm here. No, you didn't. God knew you was going to be here before you was born. Amen. The footsteps of the righteous are ordained of God. Are they not? Amen. Absolutely they are. You see? So it pays us to listen to what I'm going to read and listen to these things because it means a lot. And I don't know about you, but I don't want to do anything and goof up. I don't want to do anything and goof it up. No. I want to be right in the decision I make. Whatever it may be. This decision, that passion, this desire, whatever it may be. May it be lined up with the Word 100%. Yeah. There's so many circumstances in life, saints. There's so many things that can come up. And we don't even pray about it. And we just go do it. We think, oh, I know God wants me to do this. I've seen that in the past a lot years ago, friends. Oh, I know this is the will of God. I know it is. And wow, it turned into a big mess. Yeah. And God didn't get any glory out of it whatsoever. You only got glorified yourself of how stinking your flesh is. Instead of God getting the glory and being magnified that He's the same yesterday, today, and forever, because that's what it's all about. Him being the same today as He was yesterday and shall be forever. In your life and in my life, you see. I don't mean to make these things sound hard, and they shouldn't be. But we must understand these things. If we're a Christian, if we're a believer, we've got to be believers and be Christians. That's why the people is in such a mess they're in, friends. That's why you could drive right down through Logan this morning
and watch people come out them doors cursing, swearing, joking, cutting up, wearing clothes so ungodly, so filthy, end up going to bars this afternoon and call themselves Christians. And so I'll use this little example again for a reason. I used to work one time years ago with a man that was a deacon in a Baptist church. And his little thing was, as long as he didn't see me, because I was a believer, and I tried even back then to live the best I knew how, what the Holy Spirit led me to do, and do right with people, and do things that was right, keep clean, do no lying, cheating, and all these things. And he'd be off over here, maybe in this part of the building, and he'd just be, showing a temper tantrum one time. Another time he'd be out joking and telling dirty jokes and filthy jokes. And I'd come walking around and he would see me, and the minute he would see me, he'd just, things change. I wasn't nobody, but he knew how I stood. Until finally one day it got to him and it was eating at him. And finally one day he told me, he said, you know, I never said anything. I never said nothing to him. But he came up to me and said, you know, Steve, he said, I just want you to know something. He said, you know, I'm a deacon in church. I thought, wow. Well, a deacon's supposed to be blameless. Okay? He said, I'm a deacon in church, and I believe, and our church believes, that as long as you take communion on Sunday, you're all right, regardless of what you do. What a good understanding. Yeah. What a great understanding to have, I suppose. If you want to follow Satan. Yeah. Because it's just opposite of taking communion. You've got to have a life worthy and showing that Christ is living in you to take communion. Yeah. Actually, Lord willing, if it permits, the Sunday after next, we'll probably take communion. The Sunday after Brother George is here. So, Lord willing, we will. But, as I said, friends, every day we're making decisions. Can you prove that the decision you've made or the thing you did in life is the exact will of God? Ask yourself that. Is this the will of God? His will is His Word. Can you prove to those passing by, to yourself, and to God, that you've done the perfect will of God? It's different when you're young in the Lord and maybe just starting out or coming along. But when you've been in the Word for a long time, wow, you're about to give an account for a lot of things. Yeah. And you see people make decisions, go places, do things. It would never be the will of God. Never. Yeah. But yet in their mind, it's okay. This is all right. Is it? Can you prove it? Huh? Can you prove you throwing a temper tantrum was okay with God? Can you prove that was okay? Honestly, you really think God, that's pleasing to God? And when it's never overcome, do you ever think that's pleasing to God? No, it ain't. There's no way. Do you think lying to somebody is pleasing to God? You know, we used to be in a little place, you know, a little church where they'd say, "Oh, lie for my preacher." And they'd think, this is the will of God. "Oh, lie for him." And that's the will of God. But so many people think they're doing the will of God when they're living a sinful life. Yeah. I'll close there because I want to give you time to think about what so far I've read and what I've said to you. Yeah. But how many of us miss the mind of God and we think we're all right?
you might find out you're not one of them that's got the mind of Christ. But Apostle Paul had this assurance because he had a genuine new birth and Christ was living through him. He said, we have the mind of Christ.
Amen.
Yeah. Yeah. And it should be our lives, saints. Won't you sisters come up, please? It should be our life that we wouldn't want to ever do anything wrong. Never. And it should be us that if we do something wrong, it would just make us sick to think that we fell for that thing. But do you think some, it bothers them when they fail for that thing or fall for that thing? No. They just go on and do it again. You're definitely missing the mind of Christ. You're done missing, you're truly missing the will of God. You know? But guess what? There's circumstances to it. When you walk down that gravel road and ain't got a shoe on it, your foot's going to hurt. Yeah. Your foot's going to hurt. And it may throw your back out if you're like that very long. It may make your hip hurt. It may make that sciatic nerve begin to irritate you because of that shoe not being on there. So you're going to pay for it. And you'll pay for it when you miss the mind of God.
Amen.
Yeah. You'll pay for it. You may think you'll get by. You may think you'll coast by for a long time. But somewhere down the road, you're going to pay for it. Yeah. But how it should be our desires, friends. If Christ is in us, and if we have been filled with the Holy Spirit, it should be burning in our hearts to not goof up one time. But the attitude today is, I goof up all the time. So what? The blood of Jesus Christ, you sound like that Baptist I just told you about. They don't have understanding. But it all goes back to this. Let me read this to you again. Let's see here. Find it as quick as I can here. Well, I thought I could. I'm sure it's in there. Yeah, here we go. Again, Colossians 1. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work. Should not we be like that then, if we're Christians? Absolutely. Strengthened with all might, according to His glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. You can see where you're doing, where you're going, and what you're doing. You understand what you're doing in life. You see? Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, and hath translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son. Remember, when you're walking in darkness, really dark, you know, and I'm sure probably all of us has experienced sometime or another when it was really, really dark. No lights nowhere. And it's just pitch black. And you just don't have a clue, especially if you're in a strange place. And there's no light whatsoever. You're thinking, oh, wow, where am I going to go? You see, walking in darkness will get you in trouble. Walking in darkness got me in trouble one time. It's the grace of God I'm alive today. At a place I used to work years ago, there was a door that you opened up the main entrance door. And you retched around the door like this, and you turned the breaker on. There never was a cover on it. So all it was lined up bare bars down through the middle. And you know what kind of juice is on that when you've got three phases in the building. I stuck my hand and hit that middle bar in the dark instead of hitting the breaker. And all I remember was up on my toes and just like this. And somehow I got away from it. I still don't know how, other than God Himself. But darkness will get you in trouble. Yeah. It sure will.
Be careful walking in darkness, because in darkness you'll land if you ain't careful. Amen. Let us all stand. Amen. Now, I didn't get real far into it, but we'll come back to it. Lord will. If he should tarry, and if I should live, you know. For our life is but a vapor, is it not? Sure is. We don't know when we're going home. But God knows already. He knows the number, the day, everything, you see. Amen. Let us bow our heads, have a word of prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, as we have gathered here today now, again, Lord, another day is history. Another time of gathering here is history. And Lord, we've measured ourselves up by the Word of God. And you alone, Lord, know more about us than we'll ever know about ourselves. But I'm sure to say, Lord, that probably all of us are standing here with me today, Lord, and maybe listening to the sound of my voice over the web. We need you, Lord. We need you, Lord. We want a closer walk with you. And sometimes, Lord, we get in the flesh and we're not walking in the place we should with you. We make wrong decisions and we do things we should never do. We don't want to walk like that anymore, Lord. We want to walk in the Spirit, be led by the Spirit, not walk by sight, but walk by faith. For, Lord, we're here. We've been predestinated to do that. And by your help, Lord, and by what you do through us, it can be fulfilled. So we ask now that again that you forgive us of our sins and iniquities, Lord, every one of us. May everything be placed under the blood of Jesus Christ. And may we walk, Lord, in the light of the Word of God and walk in the Spirit, Lord. Truly being led. You leading, Lord. You guiding. To many, Lord, that may sound like an awful, boring life. But, Lord, that sounds like a glorious life to me. Oh, what a day it is, Lord. Just have your preeminence in our lives now and bring us back, if you should tarry, to again gather around your precious word and your most wonderful, precious name. And again, Lord, we don't want to forget, keep our brothers and sisters safe that have to travel, Lord. Keep them safe upon the highways and bless them richly. And thank you now for everything. In your glorious name, our Lord Jesus Christ, we ask. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's sing a little chorus. Amen. I'm in love with Jesus. Are you in love with Him? Amen. Let's sing it.
I'm in love with Jesus. And He's in love with me.
He gave you His love today, His word.
For the picture on King Jesus, I would like for you to see. He's the healer of all. The master of the sea, for I'm in love with Jesus, and He's in love with me.
May God bless you. Dismissed.